just been so very blessed. And sometimes you wonder what you're supposed to do, why you're here, what's your purpose. And I've done a lot of things in my life. And God spoke to me the other day and said, Michelle, every time you write a poem, I want you to put it in a book. I want you to save all your writings. It's going to be important someday. I said, yes, sir, you got it. So that's what I'm going to start doing. And it changed me. It made me feel so much better about what I'm doing. I want to bless you all, hopefully, with a little something I wrote. It's called He Lives. Green is coming back to take in the sun, the still bare branches waiting for leaves to come. The birds sing their song for a tree to nest in. I see the signs of spring to begin. The woodpecker knocking, making new holes, sounding in the distance, letting all know the noise of their existence. The daffodils bloom their wonderful yellow, and the tulips right behind. The many colors and sounds of spring excites my senses and gives peace of mind. Small buds on the trees as temperatures rise, so many beauties and wonders of Christ. Of all the many blessings God gives, the one true thing I celebrate in spring is that my Savior, my Redeemer, my Jesus, He lives.
Thank you very much.
He's risen. That's a summary. Now I'm going to take you to the detailed version of it. That's why Michelle had a poem. He lives. All creation bears or witness He lives. You see the buds. You see the blooms giving witness of the resurrection. Things are coming alive. The ground couldn't hold Him. Together today we gather in this place, His place of worship. This is His house. Called a house of prayer, not a house of merchandise. This is where we come to pray and worship and honor the King of Kings. To remember and celebrate. If you get up dancing through the aisle, I'm not going to call you down. Sometimes you don't know what He's done for me, Pastor. To celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's alive from the dead. Buddha's dead. Hare Krishna's dead. But Jesus is alive. He's alive. I want us to walk together. Say together. I want us to walk together through the Scriptures this morning. And let the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead Trinity in this place, in you, if you've been born again, He's going to reveal Jesus to you in a way you've never seen. By the power, say power,
power,
that raised Jesus from the dead, that Holy Ghost power. That same power will also quicken your mortal body. Your mortal body, your flesh body. Quicken it. Make it alive. Make it come alive. Amen. Make eyes be clear in Jesus' name. That's what the Holy Ghost, that's what Holy Ghost power, that's what Jesus lives for, is to see His people walking in health, walking in prosperity. He doesn't want you to walk the path that He walked. No man can walk that path. He wants you to walk the path. He is that way to the Father. He wants you to walk and proclaim and testify, I'm alive and I live forevermore. Jesus is alive. And He wants you to experience and to receive that everlasting life. It's an everlasting covenant that only He could give. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's a song out there, people get ready. Jesus is coming. Luke 19:10. Kelsey's going to have them on the screen because I'm going to go. Y'all hang on. I'm going to take you through here. We're going to walk through. For the Son of Man has come. He came to seek and save those that were found. Those that were lost. That's why He came. He says, I'm going to go after that one that's looking for me. That one that think there is no hope. He came to seek and save those that were lost. We are to reach out to the lost, whether it be in prison, whether it be in the marketplace, at Walmart. Yeah, Jesus, there's lost people at Walmart. Amen?
Amen.
We're supposed to reach out to them. Let them know He's alive. He is alive. Titus 2:14 tells us, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. Redemption. You've seen that on the screen. Redeemed. He bought you back to God with a price, with the blood that was shed. He bought you. And then He protected, He sealed you by the Spirit for everlasting life with the Father. Never again will you be separated. He was separated so you wouldn't have to be. He redeemed us from all iniquity. Say all iniquity. All sin, all iniquity. And purified. He purified Himself a peculiar people. Pastor Lewis, he's peculiar, ain't he? Jack's peculiar. If you're born again, you're different. That means different. That's a good different.
Amen.
Zealous of good works. There's some good works on the inside of you.
Yes.
If you've been born again, you made Jesus King and the Lord of your life, there's good things on the inside of you. Good things. Don't let nobody tell you you ain't no good. He is our Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. He paid back the debt. Bought us back. Matthew 15:31 tells us, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel because He made the lame to walk. He caused the blind to see. He went a preaching, and He went about a teaching, and the Holy Ghost went about manifesting the Father, the works of the Father. Because Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. He's the Father in me. He's doing the work. Jesus was working too. He was preaching, and He was proclaiming. He was a preacher. He was proclaiming the good news. If you don't come to church and get good news, you need to get out of that church.
Amen.
Amen. It might be tight, but it's right.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say go to a dead church. He said go preach the gospel, the good news.
Yes.
If you're not hearing none, there's some out there. You keep looking. You keep seeking because He's out there looking to give you some good news.
Yeah.
Not every place is the right place. It needs to be good news.
Amen.
I'm not saying sin is good news. I'm saying Jesus delivered you. He redeemed you from that stuff.
Amen.
And set you free. Redeems you, bought you back. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, we heard it this morning, and you're going to hear it as long as you walk on this earth. Jesus is, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, there's the key, no man cometh to the Father except through Him. He is the door. See, Jesus, He showed us the way. He didn't just tell us about the way. He showed us. Used to be eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Now it's go the second mile. This is what the Father, this is what Jesus did. He didn't just die. He was beaten. He was marred. Like Lewis said, you couldn't even recognize Him. See, that was way past the second mile. But you ain't got to go that far. We can't make it that far. Jesus did. And He opened not His mouth. We know how hard that would be. They spit on Him, beat Him, crucified Him. Said, prophesy, you're the King. Prophesy, King. Mocked Him. He could have opened His mouth. He could have. But He showed us the way. That's not the way anymore. That's old covenant. That's not the way. We bless and curse not. See, He was doing what the Father sent Him to do. He showed us that way. It ain't easy to do, but you can do it through Him. And He showed us the truth. He is the truth. He was full of grace and truth. Showed us and proclaimed to us what the Father wanted us to do. And then He revealed the life. He revealed that life to us. The Zoe, God kind of life. Overcoming life. Victorious life. And for all that, all the good that He did, all those He called the lame to leap, crippled in their legs, crippled in their feet, made them get healed, opened the blinded eyes, fed the multitudes, told them how much God loved them and how much he loved them. And for all that he did, what did he receive in return? Mark 14:44-46. Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, kissed him and betrayed him. After all the good things he showed Judas, after all those debts he paid for him, gave him the treasurer, Vicky, he betrayed him with a kiss. That's the lowest you can do in the Jewish tradition. A kiss is you're intimate. That kiss shows how intimate you are, the relationship. Judas betrayed the Lord with that kiss. And saying, he told the perpetrators, the ones that were coming for Jesus, whomever I shall kiss, that is he. Take him and lead him away safely. See, the devil's out to deceive you. Lead my Savior away. See, Judas was deceived. Take him away safely. It wasn't going to happen. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and Judas said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. He was betrayed with a kiss in the darkness of night. And Jesus went to him when they came for him and said, I come to you openly, daily in the synagogue, and sat down and talked, opened up my heart to you, shared the love, healed your sick, and you come to me as thieves at night. Now he had something to say. He said what was on his heart. But he knew his hour had come. He'd said it earlier while his disciples slept. He needed them to pray. We need you to pray. Pastors, we need the church to pray. Our nation needs our prayers. Don't fall asleep. There's time to sleep and there's time to pray. We need prayer. Because God, it seems God can do nothing except first somebody's got to speak forth his word so he can perform it. And he'll do it. Amen. But he's got to have legal access into the earth. Jesus made it legal. Amen. If you don't pray, Jesus is still going to do something. The end's coming, but he needs us to say something so he can do something quickly. Amen. He did all that and was betrayed. Mark 15:15. After he was betrayed, he was taken before Pilate. And Pilate, willing to content the people, here's somebody else trying to please the people. I don't want Pilate. I don't want somebody that's going to please the people. I want somebody that's going to please God. That's how we're going to prosper. Pleasing God is not going to make you popular. It might get you crucified. It might get you beaten. Maybe more with the tongue than with a whip. But we need to suffer that persecution. We need to take that abuse and give them the love that Jesus gave. Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas, a murderer, Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus after he had scourged him with a cat of nine tails, ripped his flesh off, whipped him because of the people wanted a murderer. Release us Barabbas, Barabbas. And Isaiah 53 reminds us it had to happen. Because it said he was wounded. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. We wasn't there. Yes, we were. We were there because we are mankind. We wasn't there physically, but we were there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, help me, we are healed. We're healed. He was beaten, but you're healed because of a covenant. John 19:5. Then Jesus came forth after they beat him, scourged him. Man probably can't, Jesus can't hardly, he's limping. And he's a man filled with the power of God, but submitted to the Father's will to go through this temptation. It's the only way. It's the only way to buy us back. Blood, when sin was committed, blood had to be shed. It was shed for many, many years, over 2,000 years, but only one blood could appease the sacrifice of our sin, of rejection of God, and that was the sinless blood of the Lamb of God. It was shed. It was everywhere. It was a mess. It was brutal. The movies we portray can't even come close to what it would look like, because he was the lamb that was slaughtered. And they put a crown of thorns on his head, beat him with it, whipped him with sticks. And Jesus, wearing the crown of thorns, and they put on him a purple robe, mocking him. And Pilate said unto him, "Behold the man." The man. And they placed on our Lord's head a crown of thorns. Pilate saw only a man. He saw only a man. John the Baptist saw something different. When Jesus came walking, his cousin said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. You know what helped Jesus make it to the cross? When Pilate said, "Behold the man," Jesus said, "Behold the Lamb." He heard his cousin's voice encouraging him. "I am God's son. I am the Lamb. I am going to take this beating. I am going to shed my blood." He didn't hear Pilate. He heard the spirit of faith. He heard John's testimony. He heard John's testimony. John was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit Jesus heard. That's what you're hearing today. Behold the Lamb of God. He took away the sins of the entire world for one time. John 19:23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts and gave one to each other. Stripped him. This robe that he had on, it was seamless. It was nice. It says it was a seam from the top down. There was a temple when our Lord was crucified. When they crucified him, that temple was torn from the top down. See, Jesus was that. He was the King of Kings. And he was wearing the robe. They nailed him to that cross. And Jesus willingly surrendered to it, submitted to it. Luke 23:44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness. Now, I could cut the lights off in here and I can make it dark, but that's not dark. When there was darkness, you ever been to the cave up in Limbo Caverns? You ever been to a cave where everything you can't even see your finger between your eyes? That was darkness. Darkness filled the earth because the light of the world, his light was out. He gave up the ghost. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He came into that darkness, but the darkness comprehended him not. But that's not the end of the story. Luke 24:1-7. Now upon the first day of the week, very early, say very early. We know what very early is. We still didn't get up quite as early as Mary got up. Very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, expecting to find a body, bringing myrrhs, finishing the ceremony. And they found the stone rolled away. There was a great earthquake. Yeah, go back and read the different gospels. An angel rolled that stone away. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, they were perplexed. Behold, two men stood by in white garments, shining garments. You see in the picture? And as they were afraid and bowed down to the faces to the earth, these two individuals said, "Why ye seek the living, help me, among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember," say remember.
"Remember.
Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee." When Jesus speaks, we hear a lot of things. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. No, when Jesus speaks, the dead come out of the grave. Amen. When Jesus speaks, dead things come alive. They should have been listening a little bit closer, but like Lewis talked about, they were dead in their sins. They were still old covenant men. Their mind couldn't wrap around what was going to be coming on the inside. But Jesus still said it. He still said it because he was putting faith out there. So when he was risen and his blood was offered, they were going to come alive. Amen. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, they were perplexed. And they said, why ye seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember. Remember. That's what we're here today. Remembering and celebrating what our Lord and Savior did. Jesus said the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day, rise again. That's what it's all about right there. To rise again. Had he not risen, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sin. The tomb couldn't hold him. Death had no victory over him. Death, what is death? The devil had the power of death. What is the devil? What is Satan compared to God? Death couldn't hold him. The angels proclaimed, why seek the living among the dead? They proclaimed it. He's not here. He is risen. Help me. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. Miss Tammy's going to come up and we're going to sing that. It's in our hymnal. Page 220. If you want to grab a hymnal, he lives, brothers and sisters. But I want to ask you a question before we sing. If he is not your risen Savior, if you've never made him, made that proclamation that, Lord, I'm lost. Today is your day to get saved. Amen. And those listening by radio, by internet, this is your day. Salvation is today. It's not yesterday, it's today. And if you need him, if you need salvation, if you need Jesus, when we sing this song, I want you to come down and just let me know. Let us know. We're going to agree with you. And that's not all. If you're blind and you need to see, if you're sick and you need to be healed, today is your day. Salvation is not just getting your sins forgiven. It's coming back into a right relationship with the Father, and he has no sickness, no disease, no poverty. If there's anything you're lacking, we want you to come down and let him supply it. Amen? Let him supply it for you.